Welcome to this edition of Hampton Roads Focus. Man, we have some great guests in the studio this morning. I am dying to talk to the folks from GetFloodFluent.org. We have Ben McFarland, and Ben is the Senior Regional Planner for the Hampton Roads Planning District Commission. Did I get all that right?
You did, Mike. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you. We'll just say Ben and leave it at that. And we also have Meg, and I can't read my own writing, Meg.
Pittenger.
There we go. I need to put an I over top, a dot over top that I. And Meg is from Portsmouth. She is the environmental manager with that city, and she knows a thing or two about flooding in her city, especially in Old Town. I had friends that lived over there years ago, and we were joking earlier about, yeah, it's been flooding since the 70s, and Meg said, yeah, since the 1770s or the 1670s, really. And there are some areas that are prone to flooding that have, there are places in Norfolk. Most people don't realize downtown Norfolk proper was all wetlands and marsh and swamp and was filled in over the centuries and built upon. Where the church with a cannonball in it is, that used to be the edge of the shoreline many, many centuries ago. So, and parts of Virginia Beach, I can remember as huge swaths of farmland and woods, and that has all changed now. Same thing with Chesapeake. The area has just grown up, and on the peninsula, Newport News went through a similar transition where a lot of farms and wooded areas suddenly became suburbs with streets and driveways and homes and no place for that water to go. And you don't, I was reading your literature and it is so true. You don't have to be on the water to flood.
That's absolutely right. We have many areas in Hampton Roads that are vulnerable to flooding, whether it's from a tidal surge or just a high tide, or from a rainfall event, or from just high winds. We just had a few events in Virginia Beach not too long ago where sustained winds out of the south caused significant flooding in the southern part of the city.
Oh, yeah.
So anywhere in Hampton Roads.
Yeah, that Lake Omar area and everything east of that, down Sandbridge Road, you couldn't even get across it. And all those homes that had been built out in that area. And I noticed a number of people on the news and homes that were there for many years and it never flooded before, but it's kind of a combination of rainfall and wind direction. And when the water pushes up into Back Bay or into the Sound, it really causes some drainage headaches.
It certainly can, Mike.
And it's becoming a lot more frequent. I think we didn't used to see that, a decade or so ago, but now it seems like it's several times a year. It's becoming a lot more frequent.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. And having been in a home that's flooded a couple of times, we don't live in that house anymore, but we did. And we were told when we moved in that we were shown the mark on the 100-year flood and that it shouldn't adversely affect our property if it came. And it was only a few years that we lived in that house, and then Dennis and Floyd hit back-to-back, and that was enough to saturate the soil. They were within like a two-week period to the point that when we got the next one, and I think it was Floyd, with the push of the winds and the saturated soil, we had water in our breakfast room and inside my garage. And I remember pulling up. I couldn't get my truck down my street, and I called my buddy Greg Rudiger, and he came. He had one of those big wheel jobs that sits way up, and we were careful going down the street because he's a boater and realizes that if you throw a wake, you can cave somebody's garage in. I mean, if the water's up to their door, you can literally push a garage door in. So if you have a 4x4 and are thinking about going out and joyriding around in high water in a neighborhood, please don't, because you can do some significant property damage to other people. But I remember we got down my street and passed the deep area I was worried about. And we pulled into my driveway, which we had to guess where that was. And I'm looking at 5 inches of water on my garage door. And it was like, oh no, this is not good. And I started inventorying in my mind how many power tools and other things were in low shelves and in low lying toolboxes or toolboxes that were on the ground, and it was not good. It was just really heartbreaking.
Right. I think, you know, the thing that people sometimes don't understand about the maps that FEMA puts out is that they run these sophisticated models to generate what the floodplain is, where that line should be drawn on the map. But 1% or 0.99%, there's not much difference there.
There really isn't.
So you might be, you know, outside of the mapped floodplain or the mapped high-risk area, but low risk does not mean no risk, especially in a flat and low-lying coastal area like Hampton Roads.
And here's another thought. As we see climate change continue and the frequency picks up on these odd storms and just unexplained weather, the weather events we've had where storms come back to back or the wind is coming from a direction, never done that before. Well, it's doing it now, and you have water in neighborhoods that have never seen it before. I think of poor Windsor Woods. They've been there. I remember when that subdivision was built back in the 60s, and flooding's never been a concern in that neighborhood until it was.
Right. That's, you know, so in Hampton Roads, we're experiencing the highest rate of sea level rise on the East Coast. So we're seeing sea level rise here. We're measuring it, you know, at the tide gauges that we have that NOAA has installed at about a rate of about a foot and a half every 100 years. So you think about that, how much water has risen, and wow, the fact that people have been living here in Hampton Roads for over 400 years now, that water has been going up steadily, and it's accelerating in how fast it's going up. That combined with more precipitation, larger rain events, it's kind of like a double whammy that we're getting in Hampton Roads, where the base water level is higher, and now we're getting more rain on top of that. And it's making it harder and harder for our city stormwater management systems to handle that amount of water.
Now, Virginia Beach is finally, and I don't say that to be mean, but finally getting on board with the program, the abatement of flooding. And you were talking earlier before we went on the air about some of the programs they're developing to fight sea level rise.
Right. So all of our communities in Hampton Roads participate in the National Flood Insurance Program. That's a federal program. It's administered by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Very familiar with
them.
And
that program sets up the base level requirements that any community, in order to get flood insurance, for you or for me or for anybody in Hampton Roads to buy flood insurance, our community, our city, our county has to participate in the NFIP. And that means they have to adopt certain policies, zoning, building policies, et cetera, and actually enforce those policies for any sort of development that happens in those communities. So that sets up the kind of the basic level of just being able
to
buy
insurance.
That's your baseline
for, yeah, buying insurance.
Right, and so in many of our localities, most of them, in fact, all of them, we have a couple towns that don't have to participate, but those are out west. But everyone else, all the cities, all the counties, they're all in on that program. The program that Virginia Beach just joined is called the Community Rating System, and that's a separate program. It's part of the NFIP, but it's kind of like extra credit. They do those cities and counties and towns that do more work, better work, are more proactive about flooding. They join the CRS, and as a result, individuals that purchase flood insurance policies in those communities get a discount on their insurance policy rate. So Virginia Beach, they just joined that program not too long ago. It went, I think, active May 1st of this year. Now residents in Virginia Beach that have flood insurance policies are going to get a 10% discount.
And seriously? 10%?
10%, right. And Meg's from the city of Portsmouth, and Portsmouth is one of our kind of shining stars when it comes to the CRS program.
Yeah, they've been working on this for a while.
Yeah, so in Portsmouth, we're what's called a Class 7, and so eligible policies will get a 15% automatic reduction on their flood insurance policies. Portsmouth's been in the CRS program since 2005, one of the first communities in Virginia to actually join the CRS.
I was just watching Al Roker on the Today Show, and he was talking about the latest data on carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, one of our greenhouse gases, and its increase, and the percentage has gone up. It's kind of alarming. He said within the next decade or so, we're looking at a 2% are a 2-degree rise in overall temperature.
2 degrees is huge.
It's 2 degrees is gigantic.
People think that's little. 2 degrees, 2 degrees Celsius. 2 degrees is huge.
Yeah, that's a big factor. And anything that can get people relief on the price of the insurance is just a real blessing. And especially in Portsmouth, 15%. You guys should be so proud.
We are.
That's great.
We get a lot of support in our community for the flood stuff that we do. You know, and this outreach campaign is just another one of those things that we thought was very important to participate in. You know, we want people to go to the website, getfloodfluent.org, and find out all the information. If they're not sure, the information is all there. Flooding is the most common natural disaster. It's not fire. It's not wind. It's not lightning.
It's flooding. Really?
You know? And we see all the sources here, right? You see storms. You know, you see wind that Ben talked about. And you see rain. Rain is not part of the flood maps at all. The flood maps are based on tidal inundation, storm surge. They aren't based on rain. And so when you get rain mixed in with storm surge, with high winds, that just makes it go up even more. And these storm systems just can't, you know, there's no way they could handle all of that, which is why we want people, you know, to be protected. And having flood insurance is one of the biggest ways that they can do that, because their homeowner's insurance typically is not going to pay for that. And it's businesses, too. We want businesses to get flood insurance so that they're not put out of business after an event. Renters can get contents insurance.
I was going to ask about renters.
To protect,
you can.
Talk about your tools and stuff in the garage. Renters can absolutely get content insurance for their personal property.
Wow. Yeah, a number
of. We
want
everybody to get flood insurance. I tell every single person that I talk to that everybody should have flood insurance, bar none.
Well, a number of the tools that I lost were antique Craftsman tools with the old aluminum cases and electric motors inside. And once you get salt water in those or brackish water, they're done.
Yeah.
The hand tools were easy enough. You wipe them down, oil them up, put them away. But the other stuff was just a total loss. And because they were so old and most insurance policies prorate tool replacement, it was just an awful experience. But having said that, the next time when the water came in the house and we had to use flood insurance, not the most fun, but I just can't imagine going through that without flood insurance. And I want to encourage anybody that's listening, if you're even thinking, well, I might, the more people that join, the better the program is, and you can get a better rate as areas have more participation. You're looking at an aerial photo of this area. If you're wondering, am I in a flood zone? Take a look. We have more bridges and overpasses than pretty much, I don't know, other than New Orleans. I don't know of another place with this much infrastructure that's bridged and overpassed.
Right. Yeah. Well, so Hampton Roads is a special place, and the water is certainly a part of that. But as Meg said, the maps in Hampton Roads for that FEMA produces only cover part of the story. They don't address all of the risk. And so we're saying anybody in Hampton Roads should really think about getting flood insurance, even if you aren't in one of those high-risk areas. And actually, I misspoke earlier. Virginia Beach is actually a Class 7, so they get that same 15% discount.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, that's good news for
everybody.
That's
an extra 5%, you know, and if your policy is, you know, $1,000 a year, that means you're saving $850, or you're paying only $850 instead of the full $1,000. But I think the average flood insurance policy in our area is about $750 a year. And that's for—
Which isn't that bad.
Yeah, that's including both the structure, the house, the building itself, and the contents. And that's actually, you know, I was talking to one of my former coworkers not too long ago, and he was saying that as a result of the remapping that FEMA does periodically.
Yeah, remapping caught a lot of people off guard that weren't in a flood zone previously and now are. And they're wondering, wow, why? Well, a number of factors.
Right. So when they go and they do that, they update the maps. They add in new data, better data. Primary driver of that is going to be your elevation, right? And so the elevation, if you look at a map and you look at the quality of the data that we had decades ago or the last time they did those maps, it's not very good data. And now we have much better data, so we can really map out where the water is going to go. The rest of it is they have these sophisticated storm models. They take a suite of storms and they will try to model and generate, for the whole Hampton Roads region, really all every area on the coast, they'll try to generate what that 1% annual chance flood hazard area is. So it's a very sophisticated process, a lot of intensive mapping, computer work that goes into it. But again, it only shows part of the story. In Hampton Roads, we actually, because of that combination of new models and also better data, some people got added into the floodplain, some people got taken out. And so my coworker, who I was talking to, lives out in Isle of Wight County, And he said, you know, when he got mapped out of the floodplain, and his agent called him up and said, you don't have to get flood insurance anymore. Well, you know, he knows a little bit more about flooding. And he was thinking, you know, oh, what if I want to get insurance instead? I still want to.
You can get it at a lower rate, though, correct?
Well, you would think. And this is going to take a little while, but I promise I'll get back to the punchline.
Okay.
And this got me thinking, because he was saying he went and asked about how much his new rate would be, and he was given a higher rate than he had been paying before. And it got me to thinking, I wonder, you know, and I think people, this should encourage people to go out and talk to their agents and find out what's covered. When you buy insurance for your property, when you have to get insurance, you only have to get insurance for the structure itself. You don't have to get insurance for your contents. Sometimes people, if you're outside of that map flood zone, you get what's called a preferred risk policy. It's a discounted rate. It's very affordable, but you get a bucket. They have set rates that combine different levels of coverage for both contents and structure. So you can't just get structure coverage under that program. And so in his case, because he might not have been paying for contents coverage before, you know, he was paying a lower rate, but now he would have to buy both. And so that's why I think it went up. I told him to go talk to his agent. We'll see if he did.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like precisely the problem, because generally the contents thing is going to be, that's going to run it up a little bit.
Right.
Where
and as you mentioned,
structure only, it's sort of like the difference between liability coverage and full coverage in your auto insurance. Oh, yeah, if you have full coverage, it's going to be more.
Right, and as you mentioned before in your story about your garage flooding, we have a lot of valuable contents, whether they're valuable from a monetary perspective or from an emotional perspective. And, you know, it'd be a shame to find out after a flooding event that your contents can't be replaced or you can't get money back for those things that you've lost because your flood insurance policy may only have covered the structure itself. And so it's important for people to be educated about, if they do have flood insurance, what kind of policy do you have? And if you don't have flood insurance, you should go and double check and talk with your agent, look at your current policy for your home, look at your policy for your renter's insurance, if you have some, because they sometimes cover flooding, but most of the time they don't. And so you really need to check to make sure.
Homeowners just generally don't cover anything that's water damage. That's not their forte.
Right.
And I know, as I mentioned, we were told the 100-year flood was the landmark, but that was 1993. They used different information now, but it wasn't long after the garage flooded, less than a decade, and we had several inches of water within the house, which was, nearly a foot above what the garage level was, because that was down steps. That was at ground level. And you don't think about things like, my mother had passed away and I had stuff that I had to pick up from her place because she lived out of state, a box full of photographs, family photos that was in on the floor in a back bed in the guest bedroom in the back of a closet. And that was probably the most heartbreaking thing, is to find that all soggy and wet and there's nothing you can do with it.
Right. And, you know, there are a lot of things that people can do to prepare for when a storm is coming.
Sure.
They can have an emergency kit. You can have a plan so that you and your family, your loved ones, can figure out where you need to go if you need to evacuate. And you can certainly help, you know, figure out where those valuable items are in your house. So if you do have to move things around, maybe move to the attic or to a second floor, you can take care of that and you know exactly what steps you need to take. But flood insurance is a big, big part of what individuals can do to protect themselves, their property, and their families and their livelihoods. And that's why we've put together this website, getfloodfluent.org, so that people can go in and learn more about the risk of flooding and they can learn more about flood insurance and why they should get it.
And I, as a personal recommendation, we had our flood policy in a waterproof safe in the
office. And we want people to not wait, because typically there is a 30-day waiting period before it goes into effect. So we want, you know, the time to act is now. You don't want to wait until there's a storm out the door yesterday, because it's too late. You won't be able to get coverage and you won't be covered. And the federal government is not going to come in here and save you. You know, individual assistance after a hurricane typically doesn't pay a whole lot. It's only typically a few thousand dollars for individuals for immediate, you know, housing costs and that sort of thing. It's not for repairing your house or replacing your belongings. So we want people to do, you know, now is the time to go out and check into it. Check out the website. If you're not, you know, comfortable with going to the website, contact your local floodplain manager in your local city. They all are there to help you. and we'll help point you in the right direction. Get with your insurance agent. Most all insurance agents will be able to sell you flood insurance. If not, you can, on the website, there's a toll-free number that you can contact the NFIP and get a referral to an agent that does handle flood insurance.
Yeah, that is so vitally important. And remember that, folks, 30 days from the time you take out that policy before it goes into effect. So once hurricane season starts, you're kind of playing Russian roulette with that policy those first 30 days, hoping that it doesn't come now, that it comes later.
That's right. Yeah, hurricane season starts June 1st, but in Hampton Roads, you know, we're vulnerable to flooding year-round. It's not just a hurricane season kind of
thing.
Well,
there's the thing.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, you don't have to live near water to be subject to flooding. And as we pointed out with Windsor Woods, that was a drainage problem as much as anything else. Saturated soil and then a lack of good drainage. And there are so many areas. Let's face it, we're at sea level here. I've watched downtown Norfolk when they built the seawall and all that stuff to try and mitigate the flooding. It's a great thought, but you have to go all the way around the city almost in order to wall it off completely. There are some areas that you can save that way, but it's a tremendous cost. And if you think that's expensive, try replacing all the contents in your house that get flooded, because that's a terrible alternative. I felt so bad for the folks at the beach that were flooded out, and the ones not on Sandbridge Road, but off Sandbridge Road in those developments. And some of those older homes had been there a long time and never flooded before.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of places in Hampton Roads, like I said, that are vulnerable to flooding more than other places are. But everyone in Hampton Roads, that you could, if it can rain where you live, it can flood. And so you should really think about getting that flood insurance. All the cities and counties in Hampton Roads are working on dealing with stormwater, on dealing with flooding. They're beginning to invest a lot of money, a lot of our tax dollars, a lot of grant funds, a lot of federal and state funds when they can get them to help deal with these water challenges that we're facing. But those are long-term strategies. Those things are going to take time to build. They're going to take time to fund. And so they're not going to be put in place in time for this year or for next year or even maybe 10 years from now, depending on the project. The best thing that people can do right now for themselves is to get flood insurance.
Yeah, and that is floodfluent.org?
Getfloodfluent.org.
Getfloodfluent. So GETFLOOD, fluent, FLUENT.org. Getfloodfluent.org.
Right.
Yeah, definitely go check out the website. And as Meg mentioned, you can get the number for the National Flood Insurance Program. There's a help center. Actually, I have it here, 1-800-427-4611. That's 427-4611, 1-800 first. And they'll get you full information for those that aren't comfortable on the computer. But I know the fastest growing segment of people going online is those over 40, and that covers a lot of folks that are tuned in this morning. So,
And it's important for people to find out what their risk is.
You know, yeah, if they
say it's never flooded here before, you know, we always say there's no history of something until it happens for the first time.
Right.
But find out, you know, are you truly in the lower risk zone? You know,
or are you right on the edge of one and you're getting that B, and you should be, your A is like across the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Make an informed decision. Find out what your risk is. Again, we tell everybody to get flood insurance, but if you're going to choose whether or not you're going to get it, it's important to know what your risk is, what type of zone you're in, you know, what's going on in that area. And you can find out a lot of that information, you know, on the website, which will then also have links to the locality's website and phone numbers to be able to contact people and really find out what your risk is. We preach that in the city of Portsmouth all the time. Know your risk. You know, be informed of what you're dealing with so that you know what to do, so that you've got your emergency kit. You're going to move your car in case your car floods, the street floods, you know, so your car is not out there. All of those things. Know what your risk is in advance. You know, when the storm's coming, when the water's rising, it's a little too late.
Yeah, we used to do a car shuffle when in the neighborhood we used to live in. My wife and I would run one car down to Food Lion, and she would pick me up, and we'd go back. And then I'd put my rain suit on, and we'd run the other one up there, and then I'd hike back in the rain. But we tried not to wait until the rain was actually falling before we made those provisions. But the last time We actually took the car to Town Center in Virginia Beach. I've noticed Norfolk's been great about that for years, opening up the downtown parking garages. And for those that live in Ghent, your home and other parts of Norfolk and Portsmouth as well, your home may not flood, but that street, you can lose a car in a heartbeat parked on the city street in any city in Hampton Roads, for that matter.
Right, yeah. So several of our cities, they'll open up their public garages for free for people to park their cars during a storm event.
Yeah.
Which is just one more step that our cities are taking to help residents prepare to live with water, right? So we're having sea level rise here again. We're having more and more rain that's falling. It's happening in stronger bursts of rain. And so it's more and more important for people to understand what our situation is here in Hampton Roads. We need to understand our risk. As Meg said, know your risk. Where does that stormwater pipe that drains your street, where does it go to? Where does it come from? You know, understand where you are in your city, where the water might be coming from. Are you vulnerable to rain? Are you vulnerable to a storm surge or just to tides? Know your risk.
Yeah, because a lot of people may not be subject to tidal flooding, but their drainage system in their neighborhood might be backed up by that. It just has nowhere to go.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely correct.
And we see
find
places
out where
like
that goes.
Norfolk, Hampton,
Old Town
Portsmouth.
Is that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no place in Old Town the water would normally drain out toward the river, but when the river's up,
it can't go anywhere.
Can't. Right. Yeah, it has no place to go.
And then if it rains behind that, you know, you're out of luck.
Our guest this morning, if you're just tuning in, Meg Pittenger, she is the environmental manager for the city of Portsmouth, and Ben McFarland, who is the senior, see if I can get this right, senior planner for the Hampton Roads Planning District Commission. I got it right. Yay. And they're talking this morning about the worst and the most common natural hazard in America is floods, not fire, not wind damage, but flooding. And you don't have to live on the water to be subject to flooding. And boy, is that becoming more and more true and more, unfortunately, in more and more neighborhoods around this area because it's so low-lying.
And it's going to continue to be the case. It's not the water's not going back down, okay? So it's not going to get to a point and say, okay, and go back down. It's only going to continue to get worse. The storms are only going to continue to get stronger and wetter. And so this is our reality going forward.
Yeah, that's the sad part. It's not this is what we're stuck with, and it's not going to stop doing this. Wishful thinking that, gosh, it'd be nice if we didn't get as many storms as we did last. I know this winter we got no snow on the south side of the Chesapeake Bay. Our friends on the peninsula did get some, but nothing here. And for several years we had, multiple snowfalls and some pretty hefty amounts too, like 4 to 6 inches, which in this part of the country, that's paralyzing around here. But the rain, it just seems like every year it gets worse and worse and ends up flooding and ponding more and more. And that website, again, is getfloodfluent.org. And the 1-800 number for the National Flood Insurance Program and their help center is 1-800-427-4611. That's 427-4611. You might want to jot that down if you're listening and have any questions about flood insurance. And get a look. Go to the website. Take a look at your zone and find out how close it is to the next zone up. That's the really critical point. As you mentioned, it's not... Your zone may be, you may think you're in a B and two streets over, there's an A. That's not good.
Yeah, when we draw maps, and I make maps as part of my job, and I'm sure Meg does too, you know, we use very, very sharp, very precise lines. But those lines, they don't take into account all the uncertainty that we have in the analysis that we do. So really, even if you're close to a flood zone, to a regulatory flood zone like the A or the V zone, you should really think strongly about getting flood insurance. Because if those models are off by just a little bit, that means you could actually be at risk, and the map won't tell you that. So that's why we put together the website, getfloodfluent.org, because we want people to really to think about and to understand the risks that we take for having flooding happen to us here in Hampton Roads, and also how flood insurance is the best way that an individual can take care of themselves and their families. It's a kind of whole of community approach, right? We have what the individual can do, what the neighborhood or the street can do to protect themselves and to help each other out, and what the locality can do. And the localities are doing things right now, but people need to step up and help protect themselves, and flood insurance is the best way to do that.
It certainly is. That number again, 1-800-427-4611. That's the National Flood Insurance Program's Help Center. And here's a website that covers the entire region, getfloodfluent.org. Go check it out. And thank you so much for dropping in this morning. And thank you, folks, for tuning in this edition of Hampton Roads Focus.